China slowly reverting toward a centrally planned economy. Commentary. New laws and regulations are expanding the Chinese Communist Party's control over private capital, corporate decision-making, outbound investment, and rural property as China moves further toward centralized economic planning. Speaking at the Great Hall of the People on July 1 at a gathering marking the 105th anniversary of the Communist Party's founding, Chinese leader Xi Jinping told the assembled party leadership that the CCP cherishes the lofty ideal of communism and traced the party's legitimacy back to the moment it overthrew the three big mountains of imperialism, feudalism, and bureaucrat capitalism. The speech, delivered a year into a legislative sequence that has steadily tightened state control over private capital, followed the passage of several such measures since early 2025. China's State Council has finalized its broadest peacetime claim yet over private capital leaving the country. A regulation on outbound investment, passed on April 17 and taking effect on July 1, is the first State Council-level regime to comprehensively govern how Chinese investors move money abroad, and it subjects any outbound deal that affect or may affect national security to a dedicated security review conducted jointly by the National Development and Reform Commission and the Ministry of Commerce. The category of investor under the rule includes both companies and individual residents inside China. Legal analysis of the regulation notes that the review power applies not only to new investments but also to post-investment transactions. Asset sales, equity transfers, offshore restructurings, exits, and changes of control involving sensitive technologies or data can all be brought under state review, regardless of where the transaction physically occurs. In addition to the outbound investment rule, the State Council issued two companion decrees 10 weeks earlier, both released with no compliance grace period. The first, the regulations on the security of industrial and supply chains, took effect on March 31 and created a state-maintained key sector list, giving Beijing power to direct production reserves and intervene in supply decisions for designated industries. The second, the regulations on countering foreign extraterritorial jurisdiction, took effect on April 7 and bar Chinese companies from complying with foreign laws the state deems improper, punishing violators with loss of government contracts and export access. Both decrees became binding on private and foreign invested firms the moment they were published, leaving no time to restructure operations before enforcement began. One legal analysis notes that a single act, such as dropping a supplier to comply with U.S. export controls, can now expose a company to four enforcement tracks at once: a Decree 834 supply chain investigation, a Decree 835 penalty for aiding foreign extraterritorial jurisdiction, an anti-foreign sanctions law counter-sanction, and an unreliable entity list designation. Running alongside these decrees, China's amended cybersecurity law entered formal implementation in 2026. The revision, the law's first since its original passage, strengthens penalties and responsibilities for enterprises, and regulators have continued enforcement actions on a regular basis to reinforce compliance obligations across the private tech sector. The pattern of increased central control extends to rural land and the broader rural economy. Collective ownership was never abandoned, but the legal framework reinforcing it is now being rebuilt and tightened. The Law on Rural Collective Economic Organizations, China's first dedicated statute on the subject, took effect on May 1, 2025. The law places forests, mountains, grasslands, wastelands, tidal flats, production facilities, business funds, and collective investment shares under the collective management structure. It also gives rural collective organizations authority over the contracting and management of certain land and other collective assets. 8 months later, the Organic Law of the Villagers' Committees was amended, effective January 1, 2026, so that in any village where no formal rural collective economic organization yet exists, the Villagers' Committee itself may perform those collective functions. This closes the gap and extends the collective economic structure into villages that had operated outside it. This legislative sequence was set up a year earlier in Beijing's 2025 No. 1 central policy document, the Annual Rural Affairs Directive that signals the leadership's priorities. The document traces the country's land system directly to the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1949. At that time, the leadership deliberately chose collective land ownership over privatization. The document notes that reforms touching that arrangement have, therefore, always been approached with extra caution. The document also restricts private transactions in rural land. Urban residents are barred from purchasing rural houses or homesteads. Retired officials are barred from occupying rural land to build housing. At the same time, the document calls for deeper reform of the rural collective property rights system and the development of the new type rural collective economy. It also calls for strict controls on operational risk in rural collective enterprises. The result is an expansion of the collective structure combined with tighter central risk management. Beneath all of this is a standing mechanism that does not require new legislation to keep functioning. Article 32 of the CCP Constitution, enforced since 2017, requires any organization inside China, whether private or foreign invested, to establish a Communist Party committee once it has three or more party members. The result is a dual governance structure. A company remains legally private but is no longer fully autonomous. It operates under Chinese corporate law and is registered as a private entity, while simultaneously answering to a party committee that reports to the party rather than to shareholders. These committees leave almost no public footprint. They do not appear in corporate registries, beneficial ownership filings, or standard screening tools. This makes the extent of party control over nominally private firms difficult to quantify from outside China. This return to greater central planning was foreshadowed by Xi's revival of the concept of common prosperity in 2021. The phrase traces back to a September 1953 People's Daily published list of 65 approved slogans commemorating the fourth anniversary of the CCP's founding. In another People's Daily article, "The Path of Socialism is the Path to Common Prosperity," published in December 1953, it explicitly tied common prosperity to collective ownership, including holding land, large farm equipment, and livestock in common during the original Mao-era collectivization campaign.